Welcome to the OIS Podcast, where you get candid conversations with the leaders and drivers of ophthalmic innovation. And now, here's our host, Tom Salemi.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. This is Tom Salemi. Thank you for joining us on the OIS Podcast. We talk so much about innovation for good reasons. This is the OIS Podcast, and the I does stand for innovation. But I wanted to delve into sort of the later or last stage of innovation, the point where a product moves from idea to product to treatment. And at OIS at ASCRS a couple of weeks ago, had the opportunity to sit down with some physicians about how these new advances are impacting their practices and their patients. And one of the physicians I had the opportunity to speak with was Alice Epitropoulos of the Ophthalmic Surgeons and Consultants of Ohio. She was nice enough to sit on our dry eye panel. And after the panel, she sat down with me and shared her experiences with dry eye patients, with new dry eye products, including diagnostics. She explained how Xiidra's marketing campaign has really hit and influenced the dry eye population. And finally, she has an interesting take on TruTear. So I really enjoyed hearing what happens after a product hits the market and hear it from someone who is dealing directly with patients. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with Alice Epitropoulos of Ophthalmic Surgeons and Consultants of Ohio. Well, Alice, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It was great to have you on our dry eye panel. And dry eye, obviously, is something we've been talking about extensively over the last couple of years. And it's something I'm sure you're dealing with day to day. And you have a dry eye center at your practice. Is that relatively new, or is that?
We've had a dry eye center of excellence probably within, I think we started it about 2 years ago.
Really?
We were seeing quite a few dry eye patients, and we were bringing on more and more technology and diagnostics and treatments. So we decided to, you know, go ahead and open up a dry eye center of excellence. And I think that it's building up, and we're getting quite a few referrals from all over Ohio.
So we talk about innovation here, and we follow the product sort of until it gets into the bag of the salesperson, and then it's brought to the doctor's office, and then we sort of let it be. But I'm curious as to how the creation of all these new products in dry eye from Xiidra to TruTear, how that really is impacting the physicians, the practices, and most important, their patients. Has your practice and your interaction with patients changed much over the last 2 years? You mentioned you have the dry eye center, which must suggest it does. But day to day, sort of, how is your day different?
Well, you know, 12 years ago or 13 years ago, we really didn't have any treatments for dry eye other than artificial tears. Mm-hmm. So I think that technology has really developed over the last couple of years. So we have quite a few more therapies that we can offer patients, which is exciting. But therapeutics, we still are limited mm-hmm. with therapeutics. There's still some room to grow with that. We have a protocol set up in our office. So everybody walks in, fills out a dry eye questionnaire, and that empowers my technicians to obtain point-of-care testing, and that allows me to diagnose and treat this condition more efficiently mm-hmm. Without interfering with my workflow. So treatment should be tailored to the severity and type of dry eye disease. And most therapies work in different types of, and they have different mechanisms of action. So, you know, I think that it's important that we really tailor that to each individual patient.
So someone coming to your office with a complaint of dry eye, obviously, is at a point where they have some enough discomfort to take time off from their work to go see you. What percentage of those patients actually are treatable, or some treatment can be used on them? Is it most, or
it's something? Pretty high percentage,
yeah.
Where we can have some impact and treat that condition. You know, dry eye disease is the number one reason why people see their eye doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's very prevalent, but it's also underdiagnosed and undertreated. Many times patients don't even know they have dry eye disease. 47% of patients that have dry eye are asymptomatic.
Mm-hmm.
So we have several, like I said, objective screening tests. These are point-of-care tests that help us to make that diagnosis. We also have mibography, and this is an excellent tool to identify meibomian gland dysfunction, which is the most common reason why people have dry eye. And this is an excellent opportunity to educate our patients because we can show patients what their glands look like and what they should look like.
And that's a good point. With Xiidra's campaign, I think that's raised the dry eye profile a lot.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't know it's a real disease. My wife would go to a doctor's and she was complaining about just having some dryness in her eyes. And I was like, that's actually a thing. It's actually called dry eye disease, or it could be at least. Mm-hmm. People just accept it as, I don't know, an environmental impact of the environment. So has the consumer efforts and those programs, have they also started bringing people to you, people who maybe were suffering in some way silently until they realized that there may be something that could provide them relief?
You bring up a great point. The marketing campaign that industry has initiated has made a major impact on patient awareness of dry eye disease. And our hope is that patients actually seek out care before they develop the consequences that can ensue from untreated dry eye disease. So we have noticed an increase in volume, especially since industry has started these campaigns. So I applaud industry for their initiative, with this campaign that they're doing.
That's if you look at Shire's numbers, I think they'll tell you that they increase their sales by a certain percentage without really, I think, taking much from the others. So they're bringing a lot of new customers into the market. Yes. And I'm surprised that people, they Google so much when they're ailing. They come to doctors with their own diagnosis sometimes. Do you see that in ophthalmology as well?
Yes, yeah. We do. Mm-hmm. We do see that quite often. And I think that's why it's important to make sure that, if you're a dry eye practitioner or an eye care practitioner, I think, keeping a website that's up to date, that's educational, is very helpful for patients because they can learn by these, this information that's reliable. There's a lot of information out there that you can't really trust, but I think that if a physician has it on their website, it's just more reliable. Patients can count on that information.
Interesting. And we've talked a lot about dry eye for good reason, but are there other innovative products that have come out that have sort of had a really oversized impact on your practice?
Yes. Reducing inflammation is the primary goal in treating mild, moderate to severe dry eye disease. And cyclosporine was the first pharmaceutical agent to really target that inflammatory pathway. And it's been the mainstay of treatment for our dry eye patients. A new and very exciting treatment option is lifitegrast, and that's been available for the last year. And it's first in its class. It's used to treat both signs and symptoms of dry eye disease. And in the FDA clinical trials, results were seen as early as 2 weeks. So that's a very exciting option. We also have Oculeve or TruTear that was just approved a couple weeks ago, and this introduces another mechanism of action that may address the neurogenic component of dry eye disease. So I think that a lot of patients are excited about this, and in fact, I have a patient that's waiting for me to start them on that when I return back to Ohio.
How do they know about it already? They've been tracking the interwebs?
I have been talking to patients about this option for several months now. In fact, we've kind of have a waiting list of patients so that as soon as this technology is available to patients, we plan on calling them and telling them this is available.
That's outstanding. Mm-hmm. That's literally sells itself, I guess.
Yeah.
And outside of dry eye, anything that's really changed your world?
I've become a strong believer in nutritional supplements. Mm-hmm. I think taking a good quality re-esterified omega-3 helps with not only eyes and dry eyes, but it has other health benefits, cardiac benefits, brain, memory, skin, joints. So I'm an advocate for that, and that's gained wide acceptance for primary therapy of dry eye disease. And I think patients also like the fact that it's a healthy supplement to take for other reasons too.
It's something I should consider being on a darn screen all day, so it's something I can do now. Thanks for taking some time today. I appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
And that is a wrap. Dr. Epitropoulos, thank you for joining me on the OIS podcast. It was a pleasure to have you as a guest on the podcast and, of course, in our studio, our OIS TV studio at OIS at ASCRS. If you'd like to watch this interview or share the video of it, it's included in the OIS weekly newsletter that I hope you're receiving. If you're not, go to OIS.net. Just give us your email. We'll send it directly to you. Or you can also find it on OIS.net. But we'll be sending out some more of the interviews we were able to do at OIS at ASCRS. Again, I had the opportunity to sit down with a lot of excellent people. And I definitely want to share their thoughts with you. And that's a wrap again for this podcast. Do tune in next week for another Tale of Innovation. And believe it or not, we've got another event coming up. It has nothing to do with dry eye, but it's going to be fascinating nonetheless. It is OIS at ASCRS. It's happening on August 10th in Boston. Registration is open, so go to OIS.net. Register at OIS at ASCRS, and I'll see you in my hometown, Boston.